Blog Talk Radio.
Calling in. I'm going to read a caption. Protesters in Hong Kong have burned LeBron James jerseys after the NBA star said that freedom of speech can lead to a lot of negative. LeBron James made his comments after the fallout between the NBA and China over the anti-government protests in Hong Kong. The lucrative relationship between the league and China has been damaged since the Houston Rockets general manager, Daryl Morey, tweeted in support of the protesters earlier this month. Money subsequently deleted the tweet, but China has threatened to cut ties with the NBA, and some Chinese companies have backed out of their broadcast and sponsorship deals. On Tuesday, a group of around 200 gathered on courts amid Hong Kong's high-rise building, chanting support for Morey, the Houston Rocket owner, and obscene epithets about LeBron James. One person threw a ball at a photo of James, while other burned and trampled on jerseys bearing his name. "People are angry," James Lo, a web designer, said, who runs a Hong Kong basketball fan page. He said he already received a video from a protester that showed him burning a number 23 jersey bearing James' name. On Monday, LeBron James was asked about the strained relationship between NBA and China. I don't want to get into a feud with Daryl, but I believe he wasn't educated about the situation at hand, and we spoke, James said. Just be careful what we tweet, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech. There can be a lot of negative that comes with that, too. James later said he meant Maury wasn't educated on the repercussions of the tweet rather than the situation in Hong Kong. Law enforcement have used live ammunition on civilians after months of demonstration in Hong Kong. So I'm going to cut to the live hosts now. We have John Yoder and Wade on the line. Good evening, Wade. Thank you for calling in promptly.
Sure. Good evening, Jane.
Good evening, and thank you. And the show will only be 45 minutes tonight.
Okay.
I'm pulling John in now. Hi, John. I read a partial article about LeBron James' difference of opinion with Maury, the head of the Houston Rockets. How are you doing tonight, John?
It is beautiful in California. The skies are slowly clearing from our annual fires that destroy half of Southern California, which we allow to happen every year by letting the brush just grow. We don't do controlled burns because of the environment, so we just let half the state burn down once a year and get it all out of the way.
I believe it was called the Saddleback Fire, and it affected UCLA and the air quality because my friend went there, but where else did it affect?
Well, we have this happen every year. It goes up towards more the Santa Barbara
usually
area.
Usually it's by Porter Ranch.
Past Malibu. And every year it does this practically. The brush dries out after the summer, after we've had rains during winter, and the summer comes, it dries out, and then it conveniently, every year, we either get a power transformer that sparks or someone somewhere doesn't put out a campfire. But, conveniently, it never happens in June, July, August, or September. It's usually late September, October, into November, we suddenly get these massive fires. It happens all the time. The reason I know is my brother Slick works at a juvenile correction facility in Sylmar. And so he's, about half a mile or a mile away from these fires, and he'll be sending me pictures and, texts on it. And it's just a normal thing. It's just like it's going to happen next year, too. It's just the way we roll down here.
Yes, I used to attend Cal State Northridge, and the fires were always up by Porter Ranch and Simi Valley and Magic Mountain, those areas. And one of my friends posted on Facebook that UCLA was commenting on the air quality, but that's pretty far from the fires.
Well, I'm about 20 to 30 miles away here in Santa Monica, and, you will wake up one morning and see all this ash on, the cars falling down. You can smell it. It just smells like a big, basically like a campfire, and you can smell it all in the, when you go outside and you try to keep your doors closed, and, it affects a lot of people health-wise. And the thing is, it's a lot of this is avoidable, but again, we don't control the brush. And so then every year we have to ask for billions of dollars of bailout money, emergency.
Well, who would be responsible for clearing the brush? And then we have to get to our main topic.
A lot of it comes through our state with the legislature, the way we write our EPA laws, and the governor, and how we work with example. We have a lot of prisoners that could certainly work out there and clear brush. We certainly they could do simple things like put water towers out there in these areas where they're isolated. They're 10 or 15 minutes away, or like they're 2 or 3 miles away from water sources. And it's just dry brush area. You could have, we have, 60,000 immigrants coming in every month to California. I'm sure we could round up a couple thousand that could work for minimum wage. They would love to work out there and clear the fields for America. That's just a thought. I mean,
oh, wonderful. Now, why don't you come? This, John,
I mean,
we have to jump into our main topic now. Who will defend Hong Kong? China and the NBA. In the meantime, I'm going to text Ben and Don. Go ahead with your mainstream topic.
Oh, sure. The main thought is that the NBA for years, we see this with the players such as Steph Curry, LeBron James, or coaches like Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich. They will just, you know, speak their mind and stand up and be these brave soldiers, and we applaud them. They talk about police white-on-black violence. They talk about the national anthem, about the players standing up against, prejudice, social injustices, and they'll talk about the president, how bad he is and he's terrible, and they're brave soldiers until the Houston Rockets general manager tweeted out his support of Hong Kong resistance to China. Now, why this is important is basketball is the number one sport in China, and by several reasons, basketball through David Stern, the former commissioner, he was the first major sport to get television rights into China before football or baseball or the others. So basketball's very, very super popular. The country likes the idea because it stresses teamwork, fundamentals, dedication, practice. All these are great issues, are great principles for the country to be an unselfish communist. And basically, it's cheap to do. Also, it's good exercise. It's easy to put up some basketball courts all over the place. So millions of dollars were spent putting up basketball courts everywhere. And Yao Ming, who was played for the Houston Rockets, became the number one iconic basketball figure in the planet. You know, he's not as popular in the United States, but when he was playing basketball because of China, he had a billion followers. You know, so what happened is because the Houston Rockets manager voiced support of Hong Kong, China immediately pulled all their merchandise out of all their stores, and all their games were blacked out. Now, the NBA, rather than supporting free speech, immediately dummied up everyone. In fact, the Lakers were playing the Brooklyn Nets as exhibition games in China, and they immediately canceled all news conferences after the games, you know, where the players speak to the press and they give their views on life and the game and everything else. And the league, everyone, all the major players, have actually criticized the general Rockets GM. I believe his name's Maury. And for some reason, these brave crusaders of freedom suddenly don't want to say a word about injustice and about democracy being crushed by China. The president, Xi, has said that he will smash the bones to splinters of those who resist their taking over Hong Kong. And no one seems to care about this. It's rather amazing.
Yeah, it's like, oh, no,
Wade,
Trump is a real bad one. Oh, yeah, it does seem inconsistent. Like, what happened with the whole thing about Kaepernick and the right to kneel? I mean, okay, I agree, but why is it that these other countries are like doing these, humiliating inflatables about Trump and haha, let's make fun of Trump, and people here are like, oh, that's great. And then as soon as we criticize another leadership in another country, particularly one that's a lot less humane than our country, and all of a sudden, oh, no, don't do that. You can't do that. And it seems like there's some inconsistency. Absolutely. Double standards. Again.
I think that there's only two reasons that I'm going to play the devil's advocate. I think one thing is it's a sweetheart deal between the NBA and China that, like, China wants our version of sports entertainment and all the fun that comes with it. But then when one basketball owner makes one tweet, it has a ripple effect in the same way that Donald Trump does when he's outing somebody on Twitter. So should everybody have to suffer for one person's opinion? And secondly, I do think LeBron James does have a point that, you know, we don't know what the situation in China is and the delicacy of the matter. So unless they feel really convicted about the topic and the people in Hong Kong fighting for their passionate freedom, then they shouldn't jump on board unless they're sincere about it. That's my take.
Well, that sounds really fake news of you, Jane, because it sounds like we do know for dozens of decades how people are persecuted, Christians. And there's 1 million Muslims, I might add, that are imprisoned in China just because they're Muslims, because their faith is dangerous to the country. So for some reason, we want to celebrate freedom of speech. And then when someone does it, because there's money attached, because there's big deals,
yeah,
suddenly these basketball players have lost their balls. The only balls they have are the ones they shoot three-point plays with. They have no –
okay, well, how
money.
Often do they play there, and how much money do you think they get per game?
Well, they don't get a lot of money. Yeah. They do about a week or two of exhibitions over there just to showcase the sport and to try to keep it a national phenomenon, because it is the most watched game over there. The Chinese love basketball, and they're thrilled with it. And there's where the problem is, because if players start talking about freedom, they start talking about democracy and about Tiananmen Square and the rights of Hong Kong. What happens to you know, give me liberty or death, or people being able to risk their lives for freedom? I mean, that's what the whole Kaepernick thing was.
You know, on a noble level, yes, the NBA should stand up, because Hong Kong's been in the news for at least 3 months. They've been protesting nonstop. But not every player is emotionally or passionately connected with the concern about Hong Kong. So
they're
is it fake news, or are they just phonies?
They're not concerned about freedom of speech or enjoying the American prosperity of being multimillionaires on TV? Really?
Well, the Hong Kong protesters are pissed, and they're burning LeBron James jerseys that they probably paid a pretty penny for.
Okay, I don't think the double standard's properly been addressed. Okay, someone says, criticizes our government, Trump, and says, even like, you know, says, wouldn't it be cool if he was murdered? Look at this Trump inflatable in underwear. Ha ha ha. Oh, yes, good, freedom of speech. A little bit of criticism about maybe China's not doing the right thing. Oh, no, we have to be careful what we say. We shouldn't just speak up. And it's like, okay, I think there should be a parallel. We should be consistent, right? I mean, if we need to be careful what we say about the Chinese government, why shouldn't people also be careful what outside of America what they say about Trump?
There's only a low percentage of NBA players that do protest. Like, not all of them stick their necks out.
Is that true when all the players gathered around with hoodies with LeBron James and made their big stand?
You mean when they were in New York and they had those jerseys, "Don't Choke Me"?
Right. Remember, they were willing to put it all on the line to stand up and be a man, to voice their convictions, no matter what the consequence. Now, what's interesting, think about this. About 1 billion people on the planet in China are suppressed. They can't have Facebook. They can't have social media or the freedoms to look up things on the Internet without being censored. Think about people in Russia. Think about people in Muslim countries such as Iran. You think they have freedom of speech there? You think they have freedom of speech in Afghanistan or even say India? You know, there's a lot of suppression there of information. You have Europe, which is basically kind of a semi-socialist New World Order. They're very UN. I'm talking about Germany, France, England, Italy.
Okay, but what I'm saying, John, I'm trying to play the devil's advocate. So let's say 5% of the NBA speak up on a regular basis to the press about concerning social justice issues that affect them. But 95% don't verbalize to anybody on any level, whether it's interviews or social media, their concerns about injustice.
100% of everyone who is vocal representing the NBA has sat down, cut their balls off, and bowed to their masters in China and the almighty dollar. And not only that, Donald Trump is the only leader of a superpower that is standing up for our freedom. Everyone else in these other countries are shutting it down. They're censoring, they're shadow banning.
Okay, I'm going to tell you the story of the Bible. When Jesus approached the rich man, and the rich man says, "What should I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" And he says, "You must give everything you have and follow me." Would Donald Trump give up all his property, all his hotels, all his land, all his golf course to serve the higher moral values of America?
Donald Trump's the only representative who makes nothing. He donates all of his money that he makes, his salary, and gives it to charity.
We don't know that for sure.
That is a fact.
I mean,
okay, send me the bill.
His salary. Just look it up. Google it. He has to allocate his salary. He either takes it or he has to give it away. He cannot work for nothing, so he gives it away. He chooses his charity. He's the only one that does this. You realize that.
Okay. Ben and Don are not calling the show. I think sometimes Don falls asleep by 9 o'clock, so I'm just letting you know it's just us three tonight. So,
we got to be done.
I've kind of run out of points on the Hong Kong matter. I think it would be noble for someone to, besides the Houston Rockets owner, to stand up. But I think once they do that and there's popularity for it, then the NBA should boycott China for a while if there's a consensus.
Sure.
That would be something. I mean, I wish people would stand up to China.
And who would be the losers in the long run? China wouldn't get to be entertained by sports, and I'm pretty sure that NBA players can survive without doing exhibition games.
Yeah, and I mean the Chinese government. I wish people would stand up to the Chinese government, right?
We had a mutual friend, Travis Hedge. I'm not going to say his whole name on the air. Travis H.C. served as he's still over there sometimes as a professor and an English teacher. And my friend Caitlin served in China as an English teacher. And I guess they treat the Americans pretty well. But like John said, the Facebook, the access to social media comes and goes. You might have it one day and you might not have it the next. So...
Yeah.
I don't know how many direct ways Americans can help Chinese, but I do know Christian missionaries who have gone over there. And
yeah,
I know there's people fighting
yeah.
for people who are being oppressed, but I don't know the extent.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good people there for sure.
Well,
we
have Chinese missionaries that go over there, and they are told to not socialize publicly because everyone they meet, it's recorded. They have over 740 million cameras. And you just look up regarding surveillance and camera recognition. They track everybody. And they people who go there, they are assigned handlers, you know, people to walk with them. And everywhere they go, there are police. In fact, about every, I think, 500 feet, which, you know, would be
do
like
people
about a football
field. Do
people
in your church go there, John?
Yes, they do. And they still, they warn them when they return, you know, be very careful who you contact, what information you leave, because the thing is, see, people go over there, they're greeted warmly, and if there's press, they say, oh, this is great and wonderful, and here we are meeting so-and-so. And then when the people leave, the government comes in and imprisons everyone that they talk to. They keep notes. Yeah. They track them. And this is what people don't understand. You know, China is the beginning of this great new world order of just controlling people. They're going to control everything you say, everything I say. Our government is in league with this. This you think about.
Oh, Hunter, by the way, Ben's on the line, so I'm going to pull him in.
Hunter Biden, $1.5 billion deal on a hedge fund. Do you think that has any influence on what his dad is doing over there? He flew over there on Air Force Two.
Let's introduce Ben first before we change the topic. Ben, we spent the first 15 minutes on Hong Kong and the NBA and if American basketball players should stand up for the Hong Kong protesters. And then we also spent 5 minutes on the California fires. And now John's talking about the Bidens because he knows he's running out of time, and I haven't hit the mute button yet.
Yes.
By the way, there was a Democratic debate on tonight, and I didn't even know about it until I got home an hour ago.
You want me to summarize it for you?
Did you watch it?
Nope.
No, you don't. You guys, I'm going to have all three of you men talk right now. Okay, go ahead and talk about whatever you want.
All right. Well,
we're going to get a summary of the debates.
I do think Buttigieg is one of the smarter ones in there, though. But go ahead.
Go ahead.
Ben.
Was that Wade?
Anybody.
Oh, Ben. Ben, you were going to say, give us a summary of the. You got a point.
Well, I can give a summary based on other people's summaries of it. They basically said this was a hammer down on Trump. So the biggest hater actually is trying to win. They want free everything.
Did one of your friends watch it?
Several. I was getting little clip snippets of what they saw, and they said basically none of them have any ideas that are going to work other than it looks like a competition to see who hates Trump the worst. And that's not a winning idea.
Yeah, that's going to be what they're going to campaign on, right?
We still have 13 more months till we vote.
Yeah. I mean, from what I've heard, all of them are saying you should have all these good things, but there's no real plan about how you're going to get them. And it doesn't sound too hopeful that they're going to try to preserve much in the way of freedom. And there's no discussion of, like, dealing with red tape, I don't think. You know, I'd be looking
into those things. By the way, Wade, Joe Biden called Elizabeth Warren a planner. He said, we need someone who will do something, not a planner. But he said that a week ago.
I
guess
mean,
he's been getting hot under the collar.
Yeah.
He's been getting hot under the collar about questions about his family.
All right. I did hear one. Oh, I wanted to talk about it a few weeks ago. I heard something. Someone had asked, I think, Kamala Harris, how do you not hate white people after your experience? And it's too bad we don't have Don on the show right now. And I thought what I heard Kamala's response was like, yeah, that's what you should say. She said, not everybody's the same. You know, whoever was abusive to me, not everybody's like that. And then I read this idiotic article where they were saying, well, us minorities are all good, and we're not like all you horrible white people. That's what, you know. So the stupid guy that said this, asked this question, doesn't understand
that. Did Don
write it? All you white people – right, all you white people think all the minorities are going to be like you, and you're all, and it's like, people, everybody's an individual. Why is this used to be common knowledge. Why is this, like, all of a sudden, you know, people think it's okay. Well, basically, they're blaming white people for stereotyping, but what they're doing is stereotyping. I don't understand how people can, like,
I guess
be so
the thing is
self-aware.
I that she was actually asked that like 6 weeks, 4 weeks, I'd say 4 to 5 weeks ago. And I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
I think it was a morning interview, like Meet the Press or something like that. And I think I saw part of the interview.
All right, well,
I
give her credit, you know, for her response.
I guess it has something to do with the mental framework of where TV hosts are these days. They've already have an agenda of what they want to think and say before they even talk to the candidates.
Yeah.
Ben and John, did you fall off the radar? John Yoder.
Someone's climbing up
the
radar.
Enjoying the show. I think what we're going to see the next 13 months is nothing but impeachment from the Democratic Party. That's all that's going to happen.
Yep.
And we're going to see the continued death of democracy and of freedom. And by that, I mean they are holding secret meetings. They are not allowing Republicans in their meetings.
Congress?
Adam Schiff. He kicked out Matt Gaetz, who went in there, Gaetz, and basically said, "Your Judiciary Committee, you're not the, I think it's Investigative Committee. They have several committees. What happens is they have 7 or 8 different committees, and each of these investigations are in a different committee. So in other words, when one gets done, okay, well, let's just throw it over to the Judiciary. Oh, let's just throw it over to the Legislature. Let's just go, and it just keeps going and going. We'll just keep going and going with the investigation." What's interesting, and it's kind of sad, is that whatever comes up against Trump in his circle, whether it's Giuliani or people like William Barr or Durham, there's an immediate, let's take this to trial, let's impeach, let's go to court right now. Yet we haven't dealt with issues that are still coming up. The IG report is coming up, and it's as big as a phone book. It's going to be massive. And that's why you're seeing all this acting out. Basically, the Democratic Party is in the dark, and so are some Republicans as to what's going on. They don't know really what's going to come down because the FBI has been cleansed. The CIA is still 50-50. The only thing that's open right now is the mainstream media, CNN and the Washington Post and the New York Times. And that's what you're seeing a lot of press about. Everything is a disaster. It's the end of the world. But you're going to see major things start coming out. It was supposed to happen October 18th. They're going to wait till the end of the month. But you're probably seeing a major world event happen or possibly an assassination attempt. And because people are going to get very
desperate. Are you saying that's a matter of deflection?
They have to, because this is going to be major. You know, give an example. Adam Schiff, he made up a fake phone conversation. The whistleblower is a Biden. He worked with Biden. He's CIA. He was part of the Steele dossier. You're going to see information on the Chalupa sisters. A lot of you people don't know what the Chalupa sisters are. They're in Ukraine. They started the whole Russian conspiracy thing rather than investigate Ukraine. Now, most of their politicians, Kerry, Pelosi, Biden, Romney, they have sons on energy boards. They're making millions and billions of dollars. The leading contributor to the Clinton Foundation were from Ukraine. And you're going to see Romania pop up with the Bidens. It's going to go on and on, but the only hope is to impeach Donald Trump. And the problem is, why don't they have a vote on
the
it?
The hope for
why
who? For the Democrats? I mean, what does Europe want?
Well, here's the thing. When you impeach, you vote
on it. And we should let Ben talk because we only have 15 minutes left.
I think Ben has more information than me. You have to vote to impeach. They won't do that because it would commit them to it, and also they wouldn't have the vote. So they're having secret letters. They're just sending out letters now. It's an inquiry. It's not an actual impeachment process. And that's, again, because once they vote on it, the Republicans can subpoena people. They can get evidence. They can call witnesses. As long as they keep it top secret, they don't have to do any of that.
I did see a couple things about Trump complaining about Pelosi's subpoenas.
He said he's
handing them out like cookies.
What about Pelosi's son and his dealings in Ukraine? I mean, all of...
Well, that's what John just said.
It seems like Ukraine is like the Las Vegas for Democrats. Except what happens in Ukraine always comes back around to hit you.
From a political science point of view, I think it was a fractured nation when all the upheaval started in 2014. And then it became a hotbed for corruption. And what I'm wondering is, what does Putin think of all the America's dirty hands in the pie over there and jockeying for position? What does he think about it all?
Putin's been watching it all.
Because at any moment he could just send his tanks in and say, fuck you all.
Well, you have to keep in mind that when Ukraine was going through this mess, Barack Obama sent over people to set up a anti-corruption committee. And these are the committees that were supposed to investigate Ukraine, and instead they got involved in investing in Ukraine. And so the problem is, you notice Obama has not been supporting Biden. He hasn't been talking about this stuff. How come? Because Biden was representing Obama. Everything that went through the Steele dossier regarding Ukraine, regarding corruption, that all went to Obama. Glenn Simpson from Fusion GPS just said that.
I do want to mention, John, quick, that we're having another 45-minute show Thursday night, and we forgot the elephant in the room, the Turkish invasion of northern Syria. So we'll touch on that on Thursday. But anyone can comment on what John just said.
Also, they've been asking Michelle Obama. They've been throwing her name in the polls. It turns out the last poll, if she ran right now, she would be the front runner at 27%, and then the others would all be about 20 to 22%. They keep throwing it out there, trying to get her to come in. Well, it shows that they don't have a candidate that can beat the wife of a president, an ex-president, who's not
even
involved.
Well, all I'm saying is that who cares about the media promoting people who aren't going to run? But eventually, somebody's going to rise to the surface. That's how it always starts. Iowa will be the litmus test, and then New Hampshire, and then somebody will rise to the surface. If they can't beat Trump, fine. But at least it takes a lot of work to run a presidential campaign, and somebody's going to rise up.
Did any of you guys see the latest Project Veritas video that just came out?
No, but you did text me about it.
It's quite damning.
It's bad. It actually explains a lot of what you've seen and what a lot of America that seems to hold CNN and MSNBC credible, how they've been duped and why. It's got hidden camera footage of what's his name? Mark Zucker? No. Jeff Zucker. Actually directing what he wants the anchors and journalists to focus on. Basically, don't get distracted by anything. Just focus on the impeachment. So he's actually acting like the IG report and all of this stuff is just a distraction from the real issue, which is impeachment. And it actually has him, an employee, explaining Jeff Zucker's beef with Trump goes all the way back to when does it goes back to the Apprentice show. He's hated Trump ever since the Apprentice show, so now he wants to run nothing mm-hmm. but impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who watches those headline news sees them beating stories to the ground. Like, nobody wants to mm-hmm. hear about it for 4 days in a row.
Yeah, and there's so many other things going on.
Well, you have so many people in the same bed. Jeff Zucker's wife, Karen, is very tight gal pal of Ghislaine Maxwell. Ghislaine Maxwell was staying at Epstein's apartment. Epstein's apartment was bought from Lynn F. de Rothschild. The Rothschilds were major supporters. She had a campaign program for Hillary Clinton for the 2016. She was on TV promoting it, on the news, going, you know, be sure to call in right now and support Hillary. The whole connection of CNN versus basically all these people in the same bed together. You're seeing Bill Gates, major connected to Epstein. You're seeing George Stephanopoulos from ABC News, again, having dinners and hanging out with him after he was convicted of his pedophile child charges. The whole thing is there's these people have a lot to lose, and these people are majorly connected in their not only their money, but in the things that they've done as far as sexually. And that's how come there's such a panic. Trump is challenging Hillary to run. And Hillary's saying, don't tempt me. And Trump wants them to impeach. Trump wants this to happen, to be exposed, because it's going to – the problem is they're going to be very up on doubling down, and then they're going to start to expose the texts and the emails, the correspondence to the press, New York Times, the Washington Post, the inside leaks that we're getting. Eric Saramello, he's, you know, CIA, he's the leaker, he's the whistleblower. And he worked on, like I say, the Steele dossier. He worked on Ukraine on with funneling money to Ukraine. Ukraine is going to be it's going to blow up everything, and people want that covered up. They don't want it exposed, and that's what you're going to see happen the next 3 months. You know, with Bill Barr and Durham, they're going to blow this baby up. And Giuliani, that's why they want to get him out. Manafort was doing the same thing as Podesta was, but they don't investigate Podesta. Why not? Because it leads mm-hmm. to Hillary. It leads to Obama. Obama hired Hillary. Corruption is all over that. It is covered up by the press, and this is what's being exposed.
And 1 year from now, none of these things that you want to happen still may not happen.
Well, who do you think will win the election?
Bernie Sanders.
Elizabeth
Warren and Pete Buttigieg. That's partnership.
That's a good question. That's an odd question.
I have no idea.
Why aren't they more focused on getting someone else elected? You know, this effort to impeach so close to the elections, it kind of suggests
it's
that they're thinking Trump's going to win. Yeah.
But the thing is they're trying to make Trump look guilty of something he was just being nosy. But some people consider it treasonous.
Well, there's three things in elections. That
now, he does have an element of Nixon paranoia. He does fear his opponents, whether they're credible or not.
Well, it's interesting. Moody does, they do polls, and they do estimates on who will win the election. They've been right the last 30 years, except for the Trump election. They said that caught him by surprise. But there's three factors they look at. One is money in people's pockets. Two is the Wall Street, how that's going. And four is how the jobs, the economy is going. And whoever controls those wins every time. And basically, they're saying Trump in a landslide, actually. And you know that Trump is getting the church's support. He put $50 million just last month towards religious persecution of Christians in other countries. He's the one standing up for, you know, these people in other countries that are being imprisoned. And he's speaking up for them. And